here with you this morning. This morning we're going to read quite a lot of verses in regards to burial and what to do with a body upon death. And I had the questions put to me before I had this study put together when I was younger. People would ask me, well, what do you think about cremation? And I really didn't have an answer other than I just felt it was wrong. And then as later on, pastoring the church there in Ohio, I had people ask me about it, and I thought, I need to have some scripture ready for individuals that I could provide them with what I believe the Bible says about what to do with these bodies upon death. And as I thought about this, as you grow older, you realize things that were foolish in your youth. And I remember me and Tim used to fish years ago in the lake, and we'd just say, "Oh, would die, just tie me to the boat and just shove me out in the lake and let me sink." You know, and you say stuff like that because you realize that the most important thing is where your soul's going, and you say that because of the importance of your soul. But there is a reverence that I believe that we're to have for these bodies that the Holy Spirit dwells in. And we need to know what the Scripture tells us about these things. And I just thought we'd take some time this morning and look at what the Bible says about what we should do with these bodies after death. I believe there's a pattern for us to follow in the Scripture, and the Scripture gives us patterns for many things. In Deuteronomy, we want to look at a verse or two there. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, in verse 5, we find here that God chose the form of burial for his servant Moses. And he buried him. In Deuteronomy 34, in verse 5, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab." Now, he buried him. He buried his body. God chose to do that. And it makes it very clear that God chose that form to take care of the body of Moses. So he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab. We find, if you look in Genesis chapter 23, that Abraham chose to be buried and also bought in advance a place, a burial place. You know, if you will, you want to call it a cemetery or whatever you want to call it, but it was a place, a burial place of land. And he chose to have that place that he would be buried and his wife would be buried. In Genesis chapter 23, in verse 4, it says, "I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." So he planned ahead for the burial of his body and bought a place, bought a piece of ground to be buried in. And turn ahead to chapter 25 and verse 8. And it says, "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave at Machpelah in the land of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre." And it says, "In the field Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth, there was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife." So he bought this piece of land, and that's where he buried his wife, and he was buried there too. We find also in Genesis chapter 35, if you want to turn ahead there, that Jacob buried his wife Rachel when she died in childbirth. And it tells her there that he also set a pillar. He made a marker. He had a grave marker that he put there. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 19, it says, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave." So we find the pattern here was not only burial that God set forth for that he buried the body of Moses, but that also Abraham purchased a piece of ground that he and his wife would be buried on. And not only that, we see that when Rachel died, that Jacob made a marker for it. And that it would be known that that was what was there, a place, a memorial, if you will, a place that people would know that that was his wife's grave. And so he did that, and it says, "In the pillar of Rachel's grave was under that day." At the time of this writing, it was still there, so it stood for many years. So it was something that was very permanent. It was something that was planned to be very permanent. So we also look ahead and find that Jacob and Esau buried their father. And so we find that family's involved in burial. We know that mourning's involved in burial. But we're talking mainly about what is done with the body. And in chapter 35, there in verse 29, it says, "And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his son Esau and Jacob buried him." Now, I want you to notice that when it's saying buried him, they weren't burying ashes. They were burying the body. They were not burying ashes. And some people say, well, we'll bury the ashes. But they were burying the actual body. And we'll look at that even more here as we find that when Jacob died in Egypt, that his son Joseph commanded he be embalmed. And you might say, well, that's all Egyptian things. But still, it was the preservation of that body. And it was the taking care of that body. So he gave a commandment, and he was later buried at home, the same place that Abraham was buried, in the family cemetery. So he gave, even though he was living way down in Egypt, he says, I want to be buried at home. I want to be buried with my family. And so there was an idea of a gathering together in a burying place too. And so in Genesis chapter 49, look at verse 33 there, it says, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into his bed," in verse 33 in chapter 49 is where we're reading, "and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people." And in chapter 50 in verse 1, "And Joseph fell upon his father's face, and wept upon him, and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel." Now that's Jacob. That's, you know, embalmed Israel. They embalmed a body. And then in verse 3 it says, "And 40 days were fulfilled for him, so are fulfilled the days which those are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned him 70 days. And then in verse 13 of that chapter 50, it says, "For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, and buried him in a cave in the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought for the field of possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre." So we find that he was taken back home and buried in the family cemetery where his ancestors were. And so Joseph, not only he gave that commandments, but he also gave commandments concerning his body. Joseph, we find in chapter 50 there, look in verse 25. "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones," not my ashes, but "my bones," or "my body." And we know that, you know, even though there's some embalming happened, but there's fluids, bodies dry up, you know. And so he says, my bones won't be left here. And he wanted them taken up and buried. In verse 26, it says there in chapter 50, "So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin." So in Egypt. So we find that even that's in the Bible. So we have not only a burying of the body, we have a burying place, a cemetery that's been mentioned in the Bible. We have putting a marker, a pillar, a headstone that's mentioned in the Bible. And we have even putting the body in a coffin that's mentioned in the Word of God, putting it in something to transport it, to carry it, to bury it, to take care of the body. Now look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. The faith chapter in verse 22. It says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, gave commandments concerning his bones." So what we see here is there was a value. It wasn't something to just be treated in any old way. And it was something not to just be discarded. And there was a value placed upon his body even after his death. I mean, he gave a commandment concerning it. You know, there was a certain thing that he wanted done with it, you know. And, you see me carry this around, you know. I guess this is a habit from Brother Titus, seeing him carry it around. But I carry certain things in it. And I don't know why. I'm a little bit of a pack rat with certain things. But in this, I still have Dean Smith's handwritten, you know, thing of what he wanted done. You know, I mean, he gave specifics. I mean, it's right number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, everything that he wanted done. I mean, he knew he was going to be. The one that gets me the best is that he said, you know, he wanted a cheap casket because he wasn't going to need it very long. You know, don't spend a lot of money on it, you know. But there's nothing wrong with making those kind of preparations and those things. And there was a reverence that Joseph placed on the value of his body, not to be left in Egypt. He wanted it embalmed and cared for and taken care of and taken home. And so look in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 29. We find that Joshua was also buried. And, you know, we're going through the prominent people of the Old Testament here and pointing them out to you. That the Bible gives, specific instructions about how, not just that they died, but it tells us they were buried. And it tells us there in verse 29 of chapter 24, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance. And so he was buried. If you're in that same chapter, verse 33, it talks about Eleazar the priest. And it says in verse 33 there, it says, "And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertaineth to Phinehas, his son." So he was buried. And if you look over in 1 Samuel chapter 25, you'll find in verse 1, it says that Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And so he was buried. We find in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 10 that David was buried. It says, "So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David." Now we can go to the New Testament. We could continue on, but we want to show you a pattern there that the Bible shows of burial. But let's go to the New Testament. Did anything change? In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 12. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "And the disciples came and took the body and buried it. They came and took John the Baptist after he was beheaded." They didn't just say, he was in prison, and and what happened many times with bodies in prison is they were taken to the edge of the city in this place that literally was almost, I forget, the Hinnom, Valley of Hinnom or whatever the place, and it was like a big garbage dump. And I can't imagine what that would have been like. I remember going out years ago out on Lewis Road, I think it was, or Bray Road. Maybe it was Bray Road. Was there a dump out on Bray Road at one time? Art probably knows. Yeah, he's old enough to remember it. But I remember going out there and it was a burning, smoldering dump there on the side of the road. And we'd go out there. My dad would take, a bunch of stuff, a trailer load of stuff, and drop it off out there. And me as a kid, I'd like to run down in there and find what I could find in it, brought an old bike home one day from that place. But that was just this garbage and burning and stuff, and it stunk, and it just, but they did that with bodies. So bodies of those that were many times that had no, that were diseased or just fell dead on the street, they would take them to this place, and they would dump them off the side in this pit, and they would just burn. And that's also a depiction of hell, the burning of these bodies in this place. But that would have been the end of John the Baptist, being that he was in prison and he'd been beheaded. They would have taken his body and maybe even later on his head, and done that with it. But his followers came and they took his body. And it says, and the disciples there in verse 12 came and took up the body and burned it. So they had to go there and say, "We want the body. We want the body of John the Baptist." And they buried it. They took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And so also in the New Testament, we find in Acts chapter 8, the first martyr, Stephen, after he was stoned stoned to death by those there as he was preaching the word of God. It says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial." It says they carried Stephen. He was dead, but they literally called him Stephen still. And they carried him. It says they carried his body. They carried him to his burial. They carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. And so we see all these things that are planned and that were that they were planning to, as Abraham did to die and Joseph gave commandments but you know what? Jesus Christ even made plans. He made plans before that he ever was born. And Brad just talked about the fact that of his birth, that we often think about the reason that he came was to die on the cross and pay for our sins. But that he made a plan to be buried. before he ever came, his plan was to be buried. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9, it tells us that he made his grave with the wicked. And so he planned to be buried. And not only that, it was, you know, it was going to be fulfilled that he would be buried with the wicked, but in a rich man's tomb. That it says, and with the rich in his death. And so that was prophecy that was fulfilled. But in Matthew chapter 27, if you want to turn there, it tells us there this prophecy is fulfilled. That, you know, many times again, those thieves on the cross, they were probably just taken to the dump. Their bodies were probably taken to that place, you know, the Valley of Hinnom, where they were probably just thrown in the garbage pit, you know, and where that they tried to constantly keep a fire going to just burn that mess up. It was probably the horriblest place. You think of a smell of a dead animal, and just that's been there, but you think of the smell of burning hair, the smell of burning flesh, and the rotting flesh, and they're trying to, and that's what it was. And so they did not want the body of Jesus to go there. They did not want to be the resting place of their Lord and Savior. They did not want that to be the resting place of John the Baptist's body. And so it says in verse 20, or chapter 27 of Matthew, in verse 57, it says, "When even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus." He said, "Let me have that body." You know, there was a reverence of that body. Christ was died, you know, and just as much as John the Baptist was dead, but there was a reverence put upon that body. And he begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And then Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in linen cloth. You see, there was a preparation that was going on. It was being done hastily because of the Sabbath that was approaching, and they didn't have time to do all the things that the spices and everything that the ladies came on, you know, on Sunday morning to do. But there was, he wanted to take care of it and place it in his own tomb. And so he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb, and which he had hewn out of a rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. So the question would be, you know, when people say, "Well, okay, you've shown a lot about that, but what is there wrong with cremation? Where is cremation maybe shown wrong in the Bible? Or what could be wrong with it?" Well, one of the first things is it's the pagans' most common means of destroying the body and dealing with it after death. I mean, that's how most heathenistic religions and pagans, and in the Bible even, we find that that was done, the burning of the body. There are places in the Bible where people are burned versus burial, and we want to look at some of those. Most notably, probably we find one of the most notable places is the dealing with Achan in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 25. Now, Achan, when they went into Jericho, they weren't to touch and take anything. Well, Achan did. We know that. He hid it in his tent. He took the wedge of the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, and hid those things in his tent. And God knew it, and he was outed for his sin. And it says there that in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 25, and Joshua said, "Thou hast troubled us. The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. Now Stephen was stoned with stones, and they took him and buried him. But here, because of his sin, and because it was such a grievous sin, after they stoned him with stones, they burned them with fire. And after they had stoned him with stones, not only him, but his whole family. And so we see that that was a punishment. It was considered something that angered God, that he was angry when that was carried out. And it was something that was done out of discipline, not out of reverence. And so Judah planned also in Genesis to burn his daughter-in-law. That was the plan that he made when he thought she was playing the role of a harlot. And in Genesis there it says, "And it came to pass about 3 months later that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. Then Judah said, Bring her forth and let her be burnt." And so we see that when the burning of the body was being planned, that it was a punishment. It was considered a punishment for sin. Under Levitical laws, burning was a form of punishment for sin. In Leviticus chapter 20, look with me there. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, "If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness, and they shall be burnt with fire." And so we find that there's the way that a common death was always ended in burial. But when there was sin involved and punishment involved, it ended being burnt with fire. And both he and they. And then it says in verse 9 of chapter 21, if you're there in Leviticus, just look at chapter 21 and verse 9. It says, "And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father, and she shall be burnt with fire." So we see that that was a form of punishment. We find in Numbers chapter 16 that when God opened up the earth and swallowed up a bunch of rebellious people, that before that, he sent fire to Korah and his followers, and all 250 of them God burned up. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 35, it says, "There came out fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." And so God sent fire down and burned them up. We know that God sent fire and burned up two whole cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. It rained from heaven. And because of sin, again, because of the wickedness of those two cities, that God burnt up Sodom and Gomorrah. And so burning was fire was called upon by God when he was angry, when he was displeased. It was a punishment for sins. But God also commanded that false gods be burned up. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25, it says, "The graven images of gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee. Thou shalt be snared within, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God." So God gave commandments that when you go into the land, you burn up their false gods. And that's what Moses did when they made the golden calf. We came in, it tells us there that before, they were dancing around the golden calf. He took that calf and that they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it in the water. So every time that there's fire involved with something, it's usually as a result of punishment or displeasure with God or sin. And so we find, too, that the heathens practiced this. We know that that's one of the things the Philistines did. The Philistines in Judges chapter 6 or 15 in verse 6, it says, "Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Tinite, because he hath taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire." Now certainly that was a way of, a horrible way of treating someone, but they did this thing. But it was not only a form of punishment, but it was also a form of pagan worship, because that's one of the things that Moloch was all about. The god of Moloch in the Bible was this cow's head idol with a man's body with its hands open and to receive their offerings of their babies or their infants that would roll into those arms down into this fiery pot stomach. And they did that. And that was a form of, of pagan worship. And God told his people that, you stay away from those kind of things. Punish them many times for even dealing with those kind of people and having anything to do with those who worship the god of Moloch. But we find that, that it was one of the things of punishment when the people of Israel were taken captive in Babylon. It says that Ahab was roasted in fire. They killed him and killed him in fire. And that's in Jeremiah 29 and verse 22. But we also know the familiar story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's false god. What was the punishment going to be? They were going to be burnt in a fiery furnace. They were going to be burned up in a fiery furnace. So God was angry, not only when God was angry, the punishment was to burn a body, but also God was angry with those who would do such a thing to one of his people. Look at Amos chapter. Here's the one that I wanted to really get to today, to one of the parts of the ones. In Amos chapter 2 and verse 1. In Amos chapter 2 and verse 1, I'll give you a moment to turn there because I know it's not the easiest book to find in the Old Testament. But we see that God was angry. In verse 1 of Amos 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof." And look at this last part. God was angry with Moab and he was going to punish them. It says, "Because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime." Now that's cremation. That's burning the body completely up, burning the bones completely up into dust, into lime. And He was angry with them. And he said, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away my punishment because he, I mean, this was the, as far as he was concerned, the last straw was with the Lord, is that of burning up that body, not only burning it up, but burning it into, just down into lime, into ashes, or into dust. This was a punishment that God couldn't overlook, it seemed, that they had done to the king of Edom. And so God also said, that we find that there was also a punishment in Jeremiah that it talks about of not burying the body. It was a form of punishment too, just to be left out on the ground. In Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, both the great and the small shall die in this land, and they shall not be buried. So that was also a punishment, just to be left for the wild animals, to be left for the birds, to be left for, the vultures, not to be buried. But lastly, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll try and finish this up here. But not only, do we find all the instances of burial, but we know that baptism, what is baptism? It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the body. It's a picture of that. And that's what baptism is all about. It's a burying of a body and the resurrection of a body. And you wonder where a sprinkling kind of falls into that whole thing, I mean, I used to always think Brother Titus would say, you'd have to grind up that body and sprinkle it in order to be sprinkled, And in a sense, that's what people are doing today. They turn it into lime, they'll sprinkle it on a lake, they'll sprinkle it on a favorite hunting spot, they'll sprinkle it over the golf course, they'll sprinkle it somewhere, And they don't show the real respect that the Bible, I believe, teaches that we should have for the body. But Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the body should be planted like a seed. Planted like a seed. In verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but some women will say, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come with? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So he's talking about sowing. Sowing is planting. Planting and sowing. That which thou sowest. He said, so you're sowing that body. You're planting that body. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance, of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also terrestrial bodies and bodies, celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and one glory of the moon, a glory of the stars, and one star differeth from another star in glory. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. These corruptible bodies are buried. And they're sown in corruption, and they're going to be raised in corruption. That, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown, that's sown, that's buried again. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. It's planted, if you will. And so I believe that, the burial, from what we've seen and what we see in Scripture, of God's people, since the very beginning, the Judeo-Christian way is to bury the body. And look at me in one last verse here in John chapter 19 and verse 40. So I've given you a couple... bunch of verses here, but remember that one in Amos chapter 2 and verse 1. If you don't remember any other verses of what I read today, remember Amos 2, 1 and John 19 and verse 40. Because here in John 19 and verse 40, it says, they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. I mean, that's the custom. They took it, and that was the custom. And so when someone says to you, what do you think about these things, you can say, it is the manner of God's people to bury the body, just like Jesus was. So we'll stop there. We'll be dismissed here in word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you might help us to even use these things at times to be a testimony to others about our faith, what we believe in the resurrection of this body. And the Lord, that we might treat it with the reverence. We realize that as a child of God, that your Spirit dwells in our hearts and in our minds and in these bodies, that we're your representative on this earth. And help, Lord, that we might portray that our faith also is in that resurrection glorified body to our family and our friends. And we pray that you might be with the service following, Lord, that we might bring honor and glory to your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.